Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. This is Troy Dooley, and I tell you what, this is one of the most exciting days. You know, yesterday, if for you that didn't know it, was actually the Marine Corps birthday, and I get excited about that. 235 years ago, sitting in Tunn's Tavern, the Marine Corps was formed to protect the citizens of the United States. Today is Veterans Day. Today is the day that we celebrate the past, the present, and the future veterans, the warriors, the soldiers that are out there. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about this morning, because this is Thursday, and every Thursday morning, I meet with just a group of the most rock-solid guys that a man could have as friends. And in the room adjoining to ours are some of the greatest warriors, former Marines, former airmen, former Army men, former Navy guys that sit there and talk about the life they have lived now that they're in their 70s and 80s protecting the United States of America. And I thought of what Darren's chapter is on momentum, the big Mo. And I thought, here are guys that have had lifelong friendships. And I thought, wow. I think of the citizen soldiers, those that their loved ones leave and go overseas and then sometimes don't come home. But yet the momentum continues to grow. See, nobody likes war. But everyone understands that our troops that serve to protect our rights and our freedoms are doing something that they have been called to do. It's a calling. It's a profession. We don't have a draft. We don't demand that people go into the military. It's a commitment. And that's what brings us into today's chapter, Momentum. See, when you think about this, we are all volunteers out there trying to fulfill the commitment that we have in our life, trying to fulfill that dream that we have. I love this because Darren starts this chapter off, "I'd like to introduce you to a very successful friend of mine. This friend is also close to Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, Michael Jordan, Lance Armstrong, and Michael Phelps. Matter of fact, every other super achiever will impact your life like no other. I'd like to introduce you to Mo, or the Big Mo." See, Big Mo is without a doubt one of the most powerful and energetic forces of success. You can't see or feel Mo, but you know when you've got it. You can't move on Mo. You can count on Mo showing up to every occasion, but when it does, wow. See, Big Mo can catapult you into a stratosphere of success once you've got it. Here's the kicker, though, guys. Most of us never get the Big Mo. Here's the why. And I think this is important. Matter of fact, this one stumped me because I just sat here and kept reading it over and over. Darren writes, "If you remember your high school physics class, or even if you don't, you'll recall Newton's first law, also known as the law of inertia. Objects that rest tend to stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion unless something stops their momentum. Put another way," and this is the great part right here, "couch potatoes tend to stay couch potatoes. Achievers, people who get into a successful rhythm, continue to bust their butts and end up achieving more and more." See, at the end of the day, it's up to you and I. If we want to get the momentum, then we've got to learn how to get the momentum, but we have to understand the law of inertia. See, there's another law out there, and it's called the Max Q. And it's the same principle. We're going to talk about that in a second as I share with you more of what Darren writes. If this is the first time on the show, if you're just hanging out with us, get a pen and paper, because the stuff that I'm going to share with you is stuff that I have used in my life for years and years and years. It's stuff that Darren Hardy, in his book, The Compound Effect, has put into layman's terms. He writes this, "Adopting any change is the same way. You've got to get started by taking a small step, one action at a time. Progress is slow, but once a newly formed habit is kicked in, Big Mo joins the party. Your success and results compound rapidly. But see, you've got to have the energy to break through the inertia. You've got to have the energy to hit the max Q. Max Q is maximum dynamic pressure. When the space shuttle takes off, it takes more energy to get it off the ground than once it breaks through the atmosphere. But once it breaks through the atmosphere, it's got to be at the right angle. It's got to be going at the right speed. And when it pops through there, it's called max Q. Once it goes through there, it's easy to glide in space. It's easy to maneuver into the landing position. See, we as direct sellers, we as business owners, CEOs, corporate officers, we have got to get the Big Mo. It's not about luck. It's not about being so much at the right place at the right time. And I know it looks that way. Man, when you see records, rock stars break out, and all of a sudden a new album hits, and you think, man, they're great. But all of a sudden you hear they haven't been at it 20, 30 years. I happen to hang out with a very successful band on the Emerald Coast called Common Thread. They've got a sister band called Heritage. When these guys play together, when they jam it out, they're awesome. They just went full time. They've got a manager. They cut an album. They're on the road. You ought to have seen what it took just to get them this far, and they still haven't broken in at the level they want. A lot of times we just get to see the end result. Our teens, our kids get excited. They say, oh, mom and dad live at the beach. They don't see the heartache and the sacrifice that went into getting it there. Darren says, ever wonder why successful people tend to get more successful? The rich get richer, the happier get happier, the luckier get luckier. They've got Big Mo. When it rains, it pours. See, some of us have gone through the last 3 years and we did not focus on the negative. It's not that we didn't have the same struggles that other people had. It's not that we didn't go through the same frustrations and get a little complacent. It's the fact that when the economy went down, when the mortgage bubble broke, when the real estate prices started to hit bottom, we still had the Big Mo. We just kept on cranking. That's why in the direct selling industry, we've seen more companies hitting higher profits, seeing that their growth is going, because when people are surrounded by like-minded people, things happen. Darren writes, since the compound effect is always working, negative habits, when left unchecked, can build up steam and send you in a tailspin of unlucky circumstances and consequences. And just the opposite is there. When you've got great habits, great routines, the sky's the limit on where you can go. So how do you get the Big Mo? How do you get the Big Mo to pay you a visit and decide to hang out with you all the time? You've got to build up to it. You've got to go back to Newton's law of inertia. It's like a merry-go-round. If you've got all the kids on the merry-go-round and you start pushing the merry-go-round, at first it's a little hard. But then as it starts to pick up speed, it starts going. Maybe you've seen the Wild Wild West movie where you're sitting there and you're watching the trains start their wheels. Their wheels start spinning, picking up friction. And all of a sudden, that steam engine locomotive starts pulling. All of a sudden, the wheels grip the rail. And all of a sudden, you're going 100 miles an hour down a track across the open prairie. That's the law of inertia. So far, here's what we've learned through Darren's book, The Compound Effect. Number one, making new choices based on your goals and core values is going to help you get the Big Mo. Keeps you in your zone. Number two, putting those choices to work through new positive behaviors kicks you up a notch. Number three, repeating those healthy actions long enough to establish a new habit. Okay, it isn't going to happen overnight. It's little things, not the big things, that make the difference. Number four, building routines and rhythm into your daily disciplines, and we're going to talk about that, and staying consistent over a long enough period. One of the reasons that people feel like they fail so much in direct selling is because they've bought into the myth of get rich quick. A true direct selling business where you are out there building your own marketing and distribution organization takes 3 to 5 years. I would gladly debate this on stage with anybody if they want to tell you different. I don't care what story you hear. I don't care what somebody tells you. It's going to take 3 to 5 years of sacrifice, hard work, doing it part-time, putting finances, putting energies, putting momentum into it. And this is what Darren's talking about right here. Nothing comes overnight. He tells a story about Michael Phelps and his coach. And I think this is awesome. Because when you look at this, here's what he says. He says, Phelps and Bowman's symbolic relationship is legendary for its scope and ambition. And it's utterly predictable. This is great. Bowman required such consistency when it came to practice that one of Phelps' most vivid memories was when Bowman allowed him to finish training 15 minutes early so that he could get ready for a middle school dance. That was one time in 12 years. One time did the coach say, you can quit 15 minutes early. The rest of the times, Michael and his coach continued on and on and on. Sometimes we think we got to have it right out of the gate. We got to kick our butt up. We got to move. Why didn't we get it? Somebody else has got it faster. In direct selling, we talk about category creating. We talk about first to market. All that's important, but it's not nearly as relevant or as important as the big Mo. Everybody's heard of Apple. Everybody's heard of the iPod. Do you realize the iPod was really last to market? I can remember when MP3 players first came on the scene, the iRiver was the king. The iRiver was all over the place. It was the class act. Listen to what Darren shares here. Chances are you have an iPod. Ever think about the evolution that made it possible for that little gizmo to wind up in your pocket? Apple's been around for a long time before they launched the iPod. And while Mac computers have always had an intensely loyal following, they still comprise a small fraction of the overall PC market. Matter of fact, a little over 10%. The iPod certainly wasn't the first MP3 player out there. Apple was actually late in the game, but they had something powerful going for them. The consistency of their efforts in maintaining customer loyalty. A steadfast commitment to high quality, innovative design, and ease of use. They made the MP3 player simply it was simple, cool, and easy to play with, and it was fun to promote it. See, this is the kicker. It hit a nerve. See, think back to the 80s and the 90s, especially the 90s. Napster was king, and all of a sudden everybody got upset in the record label industry saying, oh, they're ripping off our songs. They're doing peer-to-peer transfers. This is fun. Listen to this. Steve Jobs and his crew sitting there saying, how can we tap the energy of what we're seeing? And yet, how can we please all of the players, all of the people that are surrounding this that are worried about losing money? It didn't happen overnight. In 2001, the year Apple released the iPod, they went from 30% revenue growth the year before in 2000 to a negative 33% loss. That sucks. The following year, 2002, was also a negative revenue growth year. They lost 2%. Listen to this. In the third year, 2003, they saw a shift. They had a positive 18% growth. In 2004, they were up 33%. And in 2005, they caught the big Mo. And the rest is history. In 2005, their overall revenues grew 68%. They now hold, listen to this, last to market, they now own 70% of the MP3 market. Once the big Mo got there, The rest is history. We've gone from the iPod to the iPhone to the iPads. You think it only happens to them? What about that little bitty no-known company? Wasn't even a word in the dictionary called Google. They were just struggling to make it, and now they own 60% of the market. What about YouTube? See, here's why I'm bringing this up. We get so wrapped up in the day-to-day garbage. We get so wrapped up in wanting it today, that instant gratification that we talked about tomorrow, that we forget that it's really about the big mo. It's about getting the inertia going. Darren writes, some of our best intentions fail because we don't have a system of execution. When it comes down to it, your new attitudes and behavior must be incorporated into your monthly, weekly, and daily routines to affect any real positive change. A routine is something that you do every day without fail so that eventually, like brushing your teeth or putting on your seatbelt, you do it without conscious thought. I get up every morning, 5 a.m. By 5:30, most days I'm at Harbor Docks, and if I'm not, I'm at the beach. Most days, Dalton, my son, meets me. It happens every day. Most of the time, sometime during the day, Paige and I get together. On Thursdays, usually after the radio show, we go down for a beach drive now. She's on a deadline, so we've not done this near as much lately. In the evening time, my little message pops up that says family time. I break down in the office. I move to the family room. I make myself available for the kids so that Paige can get her writing done. I settle down and play with the babies. Once they're down, I sit down at the computer and finish up any last-minute emails that must be done, and then I shut it off. What Darren calls cashing out, it's what we used to do in the restaurant business. I start looking back through my day. What did I leave undone that might need to take care of tomorrow? I start focusing again on what my priorities are. I usually pick a book, my Bible, I write in my journal, I chill out. I'll tell you something else that I do, and this is what every good red-blooded Marine will do on a regular basis. I find a Hallmark movie that's on. Usually they've got some kind of romantic or happy ending. And I'll end my day with something, just a good, positive, chilled out effect. None of that fancy stuff, let's listen to positive stuff. No, I want to totally veg down with something positive, something about family, something about a positive relationship. Because usually throughout the day I've been bombarded. This is my routine. And you say, well, Troy, what's that got to do with everything else? If you start your day off right and you end your day off right, anything else in the middle that hits you, you'll still be focused, and that's what happens here. When I lay my head on that pillow, my body's totally relaxed, and I'm saying, Lord, thank you for another productive day. Let me have a sound sleep. I usually start my day when I wake up at 5 o'clock. There's usually some song going off in my mind. Lately, it's been a song called We're the Chosen Generation. And I sit there and I think, you know what? We can make a difference in the way the world lives if we will go out there and be a positive impact with our family, with our businesses. See, this is what changes. But when we don't have, this is the kicker. Listen to what Darren writes. To create profitable and effective routines, you must first decide what behaviors and habits you want to implement. You guys, all of us, need to take a second and review our goals, review our objectives. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? Write it down. Make sure that we're sitting there focused on it. Make sure that we're looking at specifically how do we start our day. How you start your day and how you end your day is as important as what you do in the middle. If you start your day off in a lethargic, lackadaisical attitude, your day is going to be that way. If you get up out of bed and you're snarky, you're what they say got up on the wrong side of the bed today, it's going to affect your whole day. One of the things I learned early on from Tony Robbins is that if I wanted to change my emotions in a split second, I changed my physiology. And I'd be busting butts, something would hit me sideways, and I would stop. I would double up my fist, and I'd just do a quick, yes, I'm going to bank it. And I kept going forward. In the Marine Corps, we would stop and just say, urgh, and just go forward. I don't care what you do, but when something hits you blindsided, you need to sit there and say, you know what, this is going to be a great day. I'm going to break through this. I've got my big mo on its way, and we're going to win. You keep going. At the end of the day, you don't say, oh, man, I'm glad this day's over. It sucked. You do that and go to bed, you'll probably have a freaking nightmare. What you've got to do is say, you know what? I didn't get everything accomplished today, but what I did get accomplished was what was most important, and tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to have three new things that I got to take care of. And don't get caught up in all this crap where you got to do a bunch. Just do three things a day that are important. Take time out throughout the day for what's important. Talk with your wife. Talk with your kids. You know, Darren's got all kinds of great, great worksheets that'll help you out, but I'm not going to tell you where to go get them. You got to buy the book. The Compound Effect. You can go to thecompoundeffect.com. I don't get paid to sell you books. I just know that if you buy this book, it'll change your life. And on every radio show, I try to let everybody know this because we get new people and old people. You buy Darren's book, it's going to cost you probably $20 or so. You buy Darren's book and it doesn't work for you. You go through the whole thing. You try every worksheet. At the end of it, you say, this sucked. It didn't do nothing for me. You send me the book back with a letter saying, Troy, it didn't work, and I'll send you a check for the book. That way you're not out anything. And then you never have to listen to the radio show again. See, I believe this book can change your life. But you've got to want to change it. You can't just all of a sudden say, okay, we listened to the radio show, I read Darren's book, and today I'm going to change, and you just go full bore. It won't work. Matter of fact, listen. I started a brand new chapter in my epic adventure yesterday, my first official day as Senior Vice President of Sales for Ignite 360. I didn't change my routine. I changed my focus of my routine. I got up yesterday morning, did the same thing I always do. I got a phone call from my partner, the skipper, Dennis. He said, what's going on? How you doing? I said, man, I'm great. Here's what I'm going to be doing, shooting a couple videos today. Going to focus in on talking with the leaders, yada, yada, yada. Got home, kicked it up, started doing it. A little bit into my morning, one of the kids came out and said, hey, can you take us over here real quick, Dad? Sure, not a problem. Took time off, went and took the kids and did what I had to do there. Took them to the park they were going to play while Paige wrote. Paige said, hey, can you grab me something to eat because I haven't had breakfast? I said, yeah. 10:30 in the morning. Fresh Market was open. I went in and the little sushi guy was there and I said, hey man, could I get you real quick just to break your routine for a second for me? Can you make me a veggie roll? Oh, Mr. Dooley, I'd love that. Made a veggie roll for Paige. I got her that and a chocolate croissant. She's writing a book. I had a little chocolate. Brought it home to her, gave it to her, went back to what I was doing. Boom. My routine is what I have always done. Now, will I always get to do it quite like that? No, some days I'm going to be on the road, I'm going to be out. But you know what? Last night I ended it the same way. Finished up the emails, did what I need to do, watched a little Matlock, chilled out and thanked God for my day. Once you've got the rhythm down, the compound effect, the positive results that you want to experience will explode. But what you can't do is all of a sudden just change your routine and go full bore. We all do this. We get overloaded. We think, okay, this is it. And then we want to jam in too much. This is why people don't fulfill their resolutions at the first of the year. Okay, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to the gym every day. I'm going to bust butt. When really inside, it's not even about going to the gym. What you really want to do is just look good. Man, I'm just kicking it up. You know, I've changed my eating habits. I'm dropping off calories per meal. I'm drinking some very powerful shakes. I'm lifting weights. I'm doing my stretches. I'm riding my bike a little bit at a time. I don't do all that at once. I'm starting to get that shape back that I had when I was in the Marines, when Paige married me. We got to do a little bit at a time. In our careers, it's the same way. We can't just jump in and say, okay, I'm changing companies. I'm going to go to work for Vima. I'm going to kick it up. I'm going to go. And then all of a sudden we hear, no, 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 and we quit. Instead of realizing that's to be anticipated, people don't like to change. People want to drink their Red Bull, not their Verve. And what do? Next thing you know, they're the people, the distributors are back couch potato, watching TV, popping a beer, going to the clubs, and not building their business. One of the things when I was with Primerica that was so fun was I would go out in an evening time. I'd sit down with a couple across the kitchen table. We would talk about their insurance and their investments, the future of their children, the future of their wife, their spouse, when something catastrophic might happen. And even when I heard no, I don't think we'll do that, Troy, I knew I'd left a compounding effect in their lives, that they would be thinking about what I'd said. When I walked away with a signature on the dotted line, I got excited, not just because about the money, but because I knew I'd just taken care of that. You want to know the greatest times I ever had was I delivered a death claim check to a widow. I handed her the check. I'd known her husband for over a year. She sat there crying. And she said, Troy, I want to give this check back to you to invest because Dan said I could trust you, that you would take care of our financial future. We took that death claim and it became seven figures over the next few years. She was able to send her grandkids through college. She was able to take care of her son's debts, able to take the whole family to Disney World and never touch the principal. She lost her lifelong partner, but she handed over a check to me and said, he said to trust you. See, folks, that didn't happen overnight. That was in my last 5 years. I'd had 10 years in the business before then. Never had to pay a death claim until then. It makes you feel good when you know that you've built trust with people. You know, I never made good money in what some people would say good money in Primerica. I never got out of that $25,000, $30,000 a year phase. But in the 90s, that wasn't even half bad money. Part-time. Never went full-time, really, in that company. Working construction on the side, running some country clubs in the side, having my own businesses in the side. But what I learned in that company parlayed me into a full-time career when I went to my next company, World Marketing Alliance. It's what brought the income up to high five figures a month. It was consistency of doing the same routine, learning, growing, putting in that personal development that's needed, priming the pump. I don't know how many of you grew up like I did, but my grandpa George had a hand pump out front, and that's how we got water when we went to visit him. And I'd have to start that pump, and you could hear it grunt as it started pumping. And all of a sudden, it would start getting a little harder to pump, and that's when I knew the water was getting up in the air. And then you hear a little, and then the water would start coming out. But if I stopped pumping, that water would start going back down again. I'd have to pump it more. Folks, that's how the Big Mo is. That's how inertia is. Once you get it going, you've got to keep it going. But you got to do it a little bit at a time. I want to close out with what Darren writes here. Making the right choice, holding the right behaviors, practicing perfect habits, staying consistent, and keeping your momentum is easier said than done, especially in the dynamic, consistency changing, and always challenging world we share with billions of other people. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. The action steps for today: build your morning and your nighttime routines. Get them down to where they're predictable. They're failed safe. You know what it is you're going to be doing. And then start working in the middle. If you're trying to do everything in the middle of the day, don't. Pick three important tasks that you need to get done that day that's going to change your life, your family's life, and somebody else's life. List three areas in your life in which you are not consistent enough right now and make a total dedication to change that. And then start keeping track, as Darren says, daily, and look at your changes, and you're going to see that those little bitty daily changes over a consistent period of time is going to change your life. Tomorrow, Chapter 5, Influences. I'm excited. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. Be back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. I'll see you at the top. Bye now.